This morning, we're going to talk about a candy cane Christmas. So, Hunter, you might want to listen to this one. The candy cane history and legend I borrowed from the internet book. I have the book. Kathy and I have it, but it's just not in our out of our Christmas things yet to where we can take it. But this is borrowed from that. And I will be handing out to everybody one of these. It is the legend without the scriptures. So if you want to write down the scriptures, you'll then see how they correlate later. But in this, it says, the legend has it that in 1670, the choir master at Cologne Cathedral in Germany handed out sugar sticks among his young singers to keep them quiet during the long living creche ceremony. In honor of the occasion, he had the candies bent into shepherd's crooks. That was in 1670. In 1847, a German-Swedish immigrant named August Imgard of Wooster, Ohio, decorated a small blue spruce with paper ornaments and candy canes. It wasn't until the turn of the century that the red and white stripes and peppermint flavors became the norm. In Indiana, a candy maker wanted to make a candy that would be a reminder of Jesus Christ, so he made the Christmas candy cane. He started off with a stick of pure white hard candy. The white color symbolizes the virgin birth and sinless nature of Jesus. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and to call his name Emmanuel. And in Luke 1:26-35 we read, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So we get out of the whiteness of the candy cane, we get the symbol of the virgin birth. We also get the sinless nature of Jesus Christ, and we see that in 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So when you see a candy cane and you look at the white part of it, remember Jesus' virgin birth and his sinless nature. The hard part of the candy cane symbolized the solid rock, which is the foundation of the church. In 1 Corinthians 10:14, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Remember in the wilderness for 40 years? You try going through a desert without known water sources, and they had millions of people and animals, so they needed a lot of water. Moses struck the rock the first time and spoke to the rock the second time, but water flowed out. And the rock followed them through the desert. Rocks don't follow you. Water doesn't come out of rocks. And if a rock was in a place and he struck it hard enough and it broke open a spring, the spring would stay in that place even if the rock moved. But the rock followed them and they received water throughout the whole 40 years they were traveling in the desert. And they have found some of those water courses where they stopped the channels and things, saying, there's no water here. There's never been any water here. There shouldn't have been any water here. Amen? So the hardness of the candy symbolizes Christ as a solid rock. And the foundation of the church is also Christ, and that's also in the hardness of the candy. And Matthew 16:18 says, and I also say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It also represents the firmness of God's promises to us. Psalm 18, 30 and 32 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." All of his promises are sure. Who can tear him down? Who can change his promises? That's the firmness and the hardness of the candy cane, representing the solidness and the firmness of the promises of God to us. Amen. The candy maker made the candy in the form of a J, which represents the name of Jesus, our Savior. Do you ever think of that? Turn the candy cane upside down and it's a J for Jesus. 1 John 3:16 through 17 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brothers in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does he love the love of God abide in him?" Jesus is love. In John 4:16, it says that God is love. So if God is love and Jesus came and was sent in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave," that he sent his only begotten son, and we have been born because of that love, shouldn't we also be sharing that love? We should be a manifestation of that love. So when you see the candy cane turned upside down as a J, remember Jesus. It also represents the staff of the Good Shepherd when it's turned right side up. John 10:14, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." You ever get into life situations and you need someone to lead you and guide you? The shepherd's staff was not just a leaning walking stick that he used to walk along to make his way easier. The shepherd's staff had a crook in it so that when a sheep got too far away, he could reach out and he could pull them back. Still within arm's length, maybe a little farther than arm's length, pull them back. If they got over into a creek, you could reach down and you could try to grab a fistful of that wet wool and pull it out, and they're heavy. But you can put that in and around their front leg, and now you've got leverage, and you can pull that animal back out of its danger or out of a crevice. You don't have to go down in with. You can reach down and get them out and bring them back up. The shepherd's staff was a comfort, because if you got into trouble, he was going to get you out. Amen. Going farther, we have the three small red stripes. Now, there are many different types of candy canes that people have out there, but if you are looking for a candy cane, make sure it has the big red stripe and the three small red stripes. You get them in all kinds of colors, and you get them with just one stripe. You get them with no stripes. You get them with yellow stripes. But when the three red small red stripes have a purpose. They symbolize the stripes of his scourging. The stripes were laid on his back for our healing. Mark 15:15-20 says, "So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into a hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison." They didn't just have a few soldiers. They brought the whole garrison in, every one of the soldiers, all of the Roman garrison into this place with Jesus for this express purpose of scourging him. "And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him and hail, King of the Jews." I want to ask you something. When a conquering army declares someone king, aren't they king? Rome was the occupying army, and their soldiers declared him as king in his physical body. We know he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords now, but he was proclaimed by the ruling authority on the earth in that area as king. Amen. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshiped him. And when they mocked him, they took the purple off and put his clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. They did all of this with the blood dripping off of him. Now, you ever had a sore that sticks to a wound that sticks to a cloth or something, or a bandage? It didn't say that they nicely took the robe off of him. They probably ripped it off of him. And they put his own clothes back on him and let him out to be crucified. Then when they got out there, they took his clothes off of him again because they put him on the cross and they gambled for his clothes. Irritation of wound after irritation of wound, and he did it for you. He was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions because of what we did. Because he didn't do anything. We already read that he's sinless. So when you see the three red stripes on the candy cane, remember the scourging for healing. The candy maker symbolized the blood shed by Christ on the cross with the large red stripe. Romans 5:9 says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." It's because of the blood that Christ shed on the cross for us. He shed blood in the garden. He shed blood at the praetorium. He shed blood on the cross. He shed blood praying for us before all this happened. And then when all this was going on while he was on the cross and his blood draining out of his body, he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." He forgave those who were doing it to him while it was going on. And then he asks us to be forgiving as we walk through life as well. But the red stripe is signifying the blood of Christ and reminding us that we're justified. It's just as if we never sinned because of the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 7 and 8 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." Redemption means you were bought back. Adam sold us into the slave market. He sold us into slavery, into the sin market, to where we could not get out. We weren't our own anymore. And Jesus bought us back out of it. Redeemed us. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. So will you look at a candy cane differently now? Ah, but there's more. When you break a candy cane, it reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us. Isaiah 53:5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." It's the brokenness of his body. What did Jesus say at the Last Supper? "This is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat." His body, physical body on this earth, was broken and given up for our health. Our healing, that we're not under the curse, the law of sin and death. We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. We've been set free from all of that. From poverty to being in bondage to being in sickness and disease. He set us free from all of that by what he did in his body. And what he did in his blood was to set us free from separation from God, from sin, to birth us into a new nature. Amen. When you see a candy cane this season, think of the elements we discussed today. He came to die that we might live. Enjoy the sweetness of a candy cane and remember the gospel message. Jesus is the reason for the season. His story is told in the simple candy cane. Amen. Amen.